Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible, you can give us a call here, toll-free, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about current events in light of God's Word, you can call the same number, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight. And well, beautiful night out there. It's kind of pleasant. It was about 84 degrees when I got out of my car here at the studios, and so kind of comfortable. And we'll see how that's going to have some warm days coming up here at the beginning of the week. But by the midpoint of the week, Wednesday, our temperatures are supposed to dive down into the low 80s for highs, and the humidity is supposed to drop. So that's going to be kind of nice. Well, let's see. I want to get started with a couple of things here this evening. And before we do all that, let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless, use the program tonight for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ, and then just help us to encourage people in their walk with you. And Lord, use the program tonight for your glory, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and I want to invite you to visit us if you'll check out our webpage at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you will be able to find out more information about us. You can link to our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can also link to our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And you can like us, you can follow us there as well. But I've been moving more and more things over to our Parler page, and I have to admit I've been busy and haven't gotten everything caught up that I want to, but I want to put a link on our webpage to our Parler page where we have I've been moving more things because many of you know that Facebook has not been friendly towards conservatives and evangelical Christians in many cases lately. And so as a consequence, we've been moving more and more things. I'm still posting them on Facebook, but also going to Parler trying to put things over there as well. And so generally it's what's on both, what's on one's on the other. But there are some things that we've had trouble getting Facebook to accept, but we get them over onto Parler. And that's one of the reasons. So just go to parler.com and search for Pastor Al Davis, and you ought to be able to find us there somewhere. All right. Let's see here. I'm trying to do three things right here at one time as we're getting started, but I think I'm getting caught up here. And we've already prayed and mentioned a couple of things there. Like I said, check us out online, and I think we've got our web feeds going over, and we're not getting any sound. Don't know why we're not getting any sound through there. Go ahead and turn that to up over there. Oh, it's all the way up?
Yeah.
Well, don't know why we're not getting any sound on the... what we're talking about is our YouTube feed. We have a YouTube channel, and it's always problematic. I think one of these days I'm going to probably stop using YouTube because it just half the time doesn't seem to want to cooperate, and it becomes more of a pain than anything else. But we're going to push on, and not sure why... not getting sound on the YouTube. But anyway, we're going to push on here. And like I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. And mention the phone numbers. I'll mention them again. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, you can call us a toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got several people that are ready to go. We'll get to in just a moment. Want to mention also that this week our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, is going to be out at the Summit County Fair. The Summit County Fair is one of the county fairs here in Ohio that is still on. As of today, it all depends on what Governor DeWine does at his next press conference. It's anybody's guess what he's going to do. I think that's by design. The best way that you psychologically prepare people to be manipulated is you constantly keep them off balance. It's like Medina County and Summit County switch places, reverse roles here in terms of which county we're supposed to run screaming for the hills because we're all going to die. That was Summit County last week, and Medina County last week was get ready to run for the hills because you may die. And now this week, Summit County is get ready to run for the hills, you may die. And Medina County is run screaming for the hills because you're all going to die. It's about the way it is. And the governor could come out and come up with something totally different that prevents us. But so far, he has been encouraging county fairs. And so I'll take that as encouragement. We will be there when you go in the main entrance to the fair, Summit County Fair. It's located right off State Route 91 in Talmadge, just north of Talmadge Circle, if you know where that's at. Just north of Howe Avenue, and it's starting Wednesday, and it'll be running through Sunday, and we have a booth there like we do each year, and so I will be there most days. I will be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but I will not be there on Sunday because we have our church services, but somebody from our church will be there manning the booth. Also, Friday evening, I will not be there because we'll have somebody manning the booth Friday evening, but Friday evening, I have to run up for our Friday night Bible study. We still have that scheduled as well. But if you're able to come out to the Summit County Fair, you can find them online. Just Google Summit County Fair, Talmadge, Ohio, or just Ohio, and you can find out where it's at, find out what the latest requirements are. I heard they are requiring face masks to come into the fairgrounds, so just let you have a heads up on that. And if you're able to get out to the Summit County Fair, stop by our booth, look us up. We'd love to meet you at the booth for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You'll find that we use a variation on the Three Doors Ministry. Some of you may have seen that. The first door, of course, it's three things God cannot do. And actually, I'm not going to give you the doors right now. We're going to be talking about that Friday afternoon on the radio. I will be calling in to the station. Pastor John Lutz will be here in the studio in the command chair on Friday afternoon for our 1:30 program. And let me encourage you, if you haven't listened to his program, For the Cause of Christ, he's the pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. You can listen to him at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Then at 1:30, our program comes on. We have a half-hour program every Friday afternoon. And so I will be calling in. Pastor Lutz will be here in the studio. That way, if we have any problems, he can take over. Otherwise, we'll be talking about the fair and the opportunities it presents to reach people, and also be mentioning our three doors, three things God cannot do. Give you something to think about, see if you can figure out what that is. And we use that. It's not ours originally. There's another ministry that I think sort of developed it, and some other people have used it. And so we picked it up because it's a great tool to open up conversation with people about the gospel and to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's coming up this week. And then I will be back in the studio a week from tonight for our Sunday night program, Lord willing. So that's what we've got coming up. So pray for us. And like I said, if you're out at the Summit County Fair, look us up at our booth, at the Bible Baptist Church booth, just as you come in the main entrance to the fairgrounds. All right. Well, again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we've got Doug calling from Tampa, Florida. And so we're going to give him the front row here tonight. Doug, welcome to the program.
Well, actually, the screener got my name wrong. You know who this is.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Daryl.
Daryl, yes. And but Tampa, Florida, yes. And well, yeah, I do have to, you know, obligatory asking you what the weather is like down there, because we've got just such pleasant weather right now.
Well, we got thunderstorms. Well, we're getting the backside of that hurricane that's hit Texas.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Hurricane Hannah, I believe.
Yeah, that just shows you how small Florida is and how big that storm is, even though it hasn't really formed in a traditional hurricane. Well, enough of the weather talk right now. I'm not the weather.
Well, yeah. But I just we're pleasant up here right now. So
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But that's what we're getting. Well, I'm kind of glad for the rain because it's cooling things down, but you want to avoid the lightning.
Yes. You know, and Florida actually is number one state in the union for lightning strikes.
Yeah, but in the continent, there's a place down in South America. It's way more lightning.
True.
Year-round. But let me get to my scripture.
Yes, sir.
I know you got a lot of callers that are calling in. In lieu of what's going on in our country right now, thing of justice has come to my thoughts of lately. And I was thinking about Micah 6:8. I believe it's Micah 6:8.
All right. Let me get over there. We're in Micah. And let me get down here. Micah chapter 6. And here we go. Verse number 8. And this is the verse that says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God."
And I wanted to get your understanding of that scripture.
Yeah, well, let's, of course, put it into the context here. And the Lord had brought an indictment against them here, against the Jewish people, because if you look back up a little further in the chapter, I'm just scanning through it here real quick. He says in verse 4, "For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted with Balaam, I'm sorry, Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him." And so he's talking about what they had gone through, you know, when God brought them up out of Egypt, and the enemies and the opposition that they had faced. And now as we come down into this section where verse 8 is, he says this. He says in verse 6, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, or the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" And what Hosea is saying, you know, we see here in, I'm sorry, Micah, is that, you know, God has requirements for various sacrifices, but what he's basically saying is, what if I go, you know, way beyond what God asks for, and go over and above, and instead of just a certain amount of oil, I give 10,000 rivers of oil. I mean, this huge amount, and thousands of rams, not just offering up a ram as a sacrifice, and all these things, doing all of this. And in light of the fact that they had forgotten what God had done for them. And then Micah says here in verse 8, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And I think what he's saying here, if you look at it, is people think God is impressed with you know, grandiose promises. You know, "Lord, get me out of this fix, and I promise I'll give $10 million to the church. I'll spend the next 10 years, you know, serving you." You know what I'm talking about? People make all kind of promises. But God keeps it kind of simple here. And this is what God wants. He wants us to do justly, which means do the right thing. Be just in your behavior, not partial, not discriminatory, but do justly. Treat people right. You know, do the right thing. I heard somebody on another program earlier today as I was going to church talking about the definition of integrity is doing what's right when nobody's looking. And God wants us to do justly. God's always looking. He sees what we're doing in private, and he wants us to do what's just, what's right. And then he wants us to love mercy. See, God's not impressed with all our promises. I'm going to give 10,000 rivers of oil, and I'll even give my firstborn for my... No, God wants us to do justly and love mercy. And it's hard to say that you love mercy if you're not willing to forgive those who trespass against you. Remember, Jesus said that we're to forgive those that trespass against us. It's hard to love mercy when you're not willing to show mercy to others. It's hard to show mercy when you're constantly holding a grudge and being bitter and things like that. And then he says he wants us to walk humbly with him, to walk humbly with thy God. That implies that we're in a relationship with him, which, of course, you know, when we put our faith in Christ as a believer, we are in a relationship with him, and we should walk humbly with him, not arrogantly, because we ought to remember he's our God. He's our creator. He is our redeemer. He is our sovereign God that created us and went out of his way to make a way that we can have a relationship with him despite our sinful nature. And so when we walk before him, we ought to come in humility rather than arrogantly. And you'll see this sometimes. You'll hear people saying, you tell God what you want him to do. It's almost like an arrogant, God is obligated to do what you say. You do this, you do that, God is obligated, you know. And arrogant, I'm going to tell God this, and I'm going to tell, no. You walk humbly with thy God, meaning you're following him, and you're saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what is it you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? Help me, Lord, to do the right thing. You're putting God first. You're putting yourself subservient to your God, the Lord that created and saved us. And that's kind of my take on that, looking at that right away.
Well, I'll tell you, Pastor Al, before I let you go, because I know you got other callers. What brings to my mind is, I'm just thinking many of things, but I'm really thinking about David. Issue with Bathsheba.
Yes.
And if it, I believe he quoted it, kind of be my quote, I can't really remember it. He said, sacrifice and offerings, if you would have required it, I would have given it to you. But God is like, that's not what he wanted. And he wanted, you know, and he even chides David, maybe not chide, but, you know, if what you had as far as like concubines and wives and stuff, if that wasn't enough, I would have given it to you. But you went and did this thing, and because you went and did this thing, you gave an occasion for the enemies of the Lord to openly blaspheme. And then he goes on, you know, to about the judgment. That's what's happening. And the sword's not departing out of your mouth. And
or from his house there,
Really in the church today. What's going on in our country, and I've heard that out of one prominent minister's mouth. I don't see Micah 6:8, and scripture that comes to me, and I'm gonna let you go. It's a great peace have they that loveth thy law. I'm not talking about necessarily Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, but his word, loveth thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Amen to that.
Like it, may not understand it, but that's the heart of God, and we're supposed to be reflecting the heart of God. But hey, Pastor Al, I know I haven't called in a long time, but I just called in today, and hey, you take care. God bless you and all the listeners. I'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Well, thank you, Daryl. God bless you, and always enjoy your calls.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless, and we'll talk to you again. And again, as Daryl was talking there, and he was giving the example of David and the judgment that came upon David, I was referring at church tonight how Peter talked about judgment has to first begin at the house of God. And so we need to be watching what we do. And another passage came to my mind as well when God had instructed Saul to destroy the Amalekites. And he was to destroy not only the people, but also the sheep and the oxen. And instead of doing that, he didn't. He saved the king. He saved some of the others. He took a spoil, meaning he saved some of the sheep and the oxen and different things that were supposed to be destroyed. And God rebukes him through Samuel the prophet. And let me read here where it says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, starting with verse 22, it says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion," this is verse 23, "for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And that's really a sad judgment that was brought upon Saul here. And of course, we know Saul eventually died, and the kingship, if you want to put it that way, I guess, passed from Saul's house over to the house of David. And then, of course, David also, as Daryl pointed out, with the incident, the sin with Bathsheba, and the consequent having her husband killed in battle, God brought judgment against David as well, and David was plagued with trouble for the rest of his life. So God takes these things seriously. It's better, as we started out there in Micah, to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got, let's see who called in. Nancy, I think, has been holding the longest. So, Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
Hey, good to have you, Nancy.
Oh, thank you very much. And once again, I enjoyed your Friday night Bible study again.
Oh, we had a good time.
Yes, wonderful. You know, before I get to my question, I just thought it was really interesting. Pastor Andy, you know, at Bible Baptist Temple, he mentioned that our zip code, 44117, we're surrounded by other zip codes around with different color coded. You know how the DeWine is color coding us like we're a bunch of kindergartners. But our particular zip code where Bible Baptist Temple is, 44117, is white. So we have like the best. So Pastor Andy was saying, the safest place for you to be is in church tonight here in, you know, our zip code. I just thought that was sort of cute.
I'll have to see what our zip code's colored. I've been seeing the counties, and we just downgraded Summit County from the level 4 red alert emergency run screaming for the hills before grandma dies. You know, we went down to the level 3, whatever it is, you know, orange alert,
to
get prepared to flee for your life category. I mean, they're so ridiculous. They're so overblown.
It's absolutely absurd. Now, my question, I keep going back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, which I know everybody's familiar with. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, do you think it's possible that the widespread sin of abortion, that God is very angry at the world? I mean, because I know it's going around the world, but I'm concentrating mainly on our nation, that he's punishing us with the COVID-19 and all the ramifications of it, you know, with people losing their jobs and, you know, getting very sick and forcing us to wear masks and stay inside and, you know, just all the different. It's possible that this is a way that God, and he's using, you know, the greedy globalists, you know, Fauci and DeWine and Melinda Gates, Antifa, George Soros. You know, George Soros is funding Antifa,
right.
Black Lives Matter. So do you think that's possible? And then if it is, can we apply 2 Chronicles 7:14? Can just a few people, or how many people does it have to be, you know, Christians?
Right, Christians, right.
Well,
I was going to say, Nancy, we're coming up on the break here, so we'll have to hold the answer here over, okay?
Okay.
Because in I think we got, about a minute or so, and not going to be able to answer that justly in a minute. But I do think there are several things going on there that we have to keep in mind when we consider this. There is a principle there that I think we can apply today, but also we're in, I believe, the last hours of the last days. And if that's the case, you know, it's just like in the midst of a storm, sometimes you get little temporary calm spots and things. Even a hurricane, if you've ever been in a hurricane, I remember in the Samoan Islands, my wife and I were there, a hurricane actually formed over us. It was a mild hurricane, but myself and another missionary, we were in the eye of the hurricane when it formed. And my wife called worried because it was just storming like crazy. And we had peace and calm literally in the midst of the storm. And of course, driving home was something. So we'll see that. But let's hold on. We'll touch this in the next half.
Okay.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we were talking about 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 with Nancy. We'll get to that in just a moment. Just a reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral, or go to parlor.com and search for Pastor Al Davis, and you can find us there. And it's a great alternative to Facebook and even Twitter. It's kind of like a hybrid between Twitter and Facebook in some respects, because you can't put over, I think, 1,000 characters on your post and all. But it's been good. It's relatively new. You can get on for free, but if you want to pay something, you can get a paid service, I think, that gets you some more bells and whistles. But if you're having trouble with Facebook and Twitter, let me encourage you to check out Parler.com and look for us on there. Parler.com, just to search for Pastor Al Davis. All right, let's see. And also USA.life. /livewithpastoral. I'm on there as well. But I think I'm starting to use Parler more because I've been trying them both out. And of course, a reminder, not only are we brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, but also by East Coast Pizza, which is located in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, 4889 Turney Road, and call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. You get a medium one-topping pizza for just $8. All right, we're getting back to our program here. Nancy has been waiting for us through the break. And Nancy, welcome back into the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
Well, thanks for holding. And as I said, coming out of the break, we were talking about 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And we were talking about possible application today. And let me also, for putting it into context, read verse 13, which is really the start of the sentence, where he says, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." And, you know, we could consider the coronavirus pestilence, and we certainly see locusts devouring the land in North Africa into the Middle East, and, and some places are suffering from severe drought. But the point here is that God causes these things to happen when his people turn their back on him. And it's to get our attention. And though he's writing in context with the Jewish people here, I think the principle applies to us today. And let me see if I get this correct. I believe you were asking, is the coronavirus and some of these things that are happening perhaps a punishment because of this? And would this apply?
Yes, that's what I was asking.
Yeah, well, I think that we've got two things going on here. One is, with abortion and pornography and human trafficking and all kinds of things that we've tolerated in our country for so many years, I think God is angry with us. We're supposed to be a Christian nation. We're supposed to be a Christian people. And, and yet, even Christians get so caught up with materialistic concerns and such not, and rather than looking to God. And so I think this partly is to get our attention. Remember 4 years ago, when Franklin Graham was going around the nation to the capital of each of the 50 states. And what was it he was calling for them to do, remember? Get people to pray for their country. Confess their sin.
And to be the application of Chronicles 7:14.
Exactly.
To carry that out. See, I just want to know how many people, if they do apply 2 Chronicles 7:14, how many people does it take to, you know, really apply that verse? I mean, like 10 people, 1,000, 1,000,000, God will heal their land.
That's I think, and it's God's people that have to do it, and, you know, we don't know what the exact percentage of truly born-again Christians are in our country. Certainly, there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians who aren't really born again. I've encountered people that claim to be a Christian, yet they think Buddha and Allah and Hinduism and all that is equally valid ways to get to heaven. Oh. Well, they're not real Christians. They're Christians in name only. You know, and so when we look at this, we're talking about Christians, and I'm you know, hesitant to give a percentage, but I think if God's people start to rise up, I don't think it has to be the majority. I think of a significant percentage, though, begins to cry out, because we saw that. Four years ago, and we were spared a president. I hate to say it this way, but we were, I hate to say this phrase, I mean, we were spared President Hillary Clinton. And that would have been horrible for Christians. I have people who challenge me on Facebook. How can you be a Christian and vote for Donald Trump? How could you not vote for Hillary Clinton back then? And now they're saying, how can you not vote for plan to vote for Joe Biden? You have to vote for Donald Trump. How can a Christian vote for Donald Trump? I said to the one guy, he's pro-life, not pro-death. He's pro-Israel. He's not anti-Israel. And there's a whole number of things that we can go through. But I think that if a certain percentage of Christians will do this and intercede, it's called intercessory prayer. And Paul writes about making intercession and praying for our leaders that we can have freedom. I'm paraphrasing greatly here, that we can have freedom to continue to do the work that God's given us to do. So that's one part. I think we can see some temporary reprieve, but I do believe we're in a build up the labor pains that are intensifying, the travail as a woman in labor that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians about in Thessalonians chapter 5, talking about as we get closer and closer to the time of the tribulation and the revelation of the Antichrist, there's going to be like labor pains. And I read an interesting article that somebody put together where they said, why would Christians think that things aren't going to be uncomfortable before the Lord calls us out of here? The contention was it's going to get worse and worse. So if that's the case, there's going to be more of what we see happening, building up until the time that God calls us out. And then, of course, the Antichrist comes on the scene and comes to power and all these things. So we're in the midst of things getting worse and worse, like a hurricane that's growing stronger and stronger. But I do believe that Christians, if we'll pray, God will give us some temporary reprieve and some temporary help, just like he did 4 years ago.
Oh, he did, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, we would have been really, you know, bad straits if Hillary, you know, he got elected.
So yeah.
He definitely got four-year reprieve, but I want an 8-year reprieve.
Yeah. I'm hoping that the rapture takes place and we don't need the extra four.
Well, that's true.
But, you know, think about it. I mean, people think, well, Hillary wasn't that bad. She's the one that said that churches, Christians, have to be forced to change their beliefs. She said that.
She was so evil. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Representing everything unbiblical.
Yeah.
Everything the Bible is against.
So, we need to be in prayer about this next election because we have a president who is opposed to the globalist agenda. He's a target. He is a target, and we need to pray for his safety and his family's safety and for him to have wisdom. Is he perfect? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. But yet God allowed him to be in that position for a reason, and I believe part of that reason is to hinder the mystery of iniquity that Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is already working in this world. And Hillary would have certainly advanced the cause of the mystery of iniquity. President Trump has been used of God to hinder it. So, hey, Nancy, I got a couple more callers waiting, but hopefully that helps for you tonight.
Thank you. That was very helpful. Thank you.
We'll be looking forward to seeing you again. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. And John from North Royalton, welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor Al. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing tonight, John?
Oh, I'm finally cooling down out here a little. I'm sitting in the backyard.
Oh, the temperature's kind of moderated this evening. Got kind of comfortable.
Yeah. Sorry I missed your Bible class Friday night, but I was very busy. I've been in the act of moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you know what that is.
Oh, I've done that a time or two, yes.
But the reason I called today in Chester, at Route 306 in Mayfield, they had a rally in support of the police.
Oh, amen.
Who have been every weekend now for I don't know how many weeks, Black Lives Matter has been out there cursing them.
Mm.
And they were very thankful. Quite a few people showed up, and a lot of people showed support. But, you know, I used to be a driving instructor for Heights Driving School.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know the area very well. And there's a lot of churches out there. I mean, a lot. As a matter of fact, just a couple miles heading west, there's a big mega church. But what was very disappointing was there were three pastors out there, and all three of them were from our church. Nobody else showed up.
Hmm.
And, boy, I don't know. If the church doesn't step up pretty quick here, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, and see, that is part of the problem. I was talking with Nancy, and it said, if God's people don't show up, if God's people aren't willing to pray, then how can we expect things to get better?
Yeah.
You know, and it's a sad, this is one of the sad things, is that the devil has convinced a lot. Now, I'm a pastor. I can get away with saying this. You don't have to be a pastor to get away with saying this. If you're a born-again Christian, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. You know, the Holy Spirit is in you. You don't have to be a pastor or not be a pastor to say this, but there's a lot of pastors who believe the lie of the devil that you can't get involved in political things or talk about political things. And that's just a lie.
Well, that was put out there by the left-wing liberals.
Well, yeah, and well, of course, who's motivating them? Because they don't want the churches, they don't want Christians to exercise our God-given right to be salt and light. David, was it Barton with the Wall Builders Ministry, I believe it is? And I heard him down Columbus about a year ago or so, and he was talking about the churches that are afraid to comment on political issues and major issues from the pulpit for fear that they'll lose their tax-exempt status. And he made a point. He said, no church has ever had their tax-exempt status taken away for talking about political issues and things from the pulpit. He said, but churches are afraid that it'll be taken away. He said over 300 churches regularly report what their preaching on when it comes to political issues to the IRS. They send them transcripts. They send them the notes, you know, the recording or whatever. They're daring the IRS to prosecute them for violating the Johnson Amendment. And the IRS would never prosecute him. And he said, here's the reason. If they prosecuted them, they know they'd lose in the Supreme Court. And they would rather have 30,000 churches cowering, afraid to talk about politics, than prosecute the 300 churches that were submitting things to them for fear that they would lose that powerful tool to keep churches silent?
Well, the churches, they made a lot of them made a big mistake signing that 501c3.
Yeah, and but see, what I'm getting at goes even beyond whether or not you should sign a 501c3. It's just the fear. Because even if you have a 501c3, which we're not, but even if you have one, you can still talk about these subjects, and they won't. Because they're afraid they're going to lose their tax-exempt status. It's a big fear thing.
Yeah.
And these churches that are sending their transcripts and daring the IRS to file suit, they are 501c3 churches. And so that makes the point even stronger, because if they could have their tax-exempt status stripped from them, why wouldn't the IRS do it? And the reason is they know that it would go to the courts and the Supreme Court would strip the IRS of the Johnson Amendment, strip them of their great tactic of making people afraid of preaching from the pulpit. And, you know, the 501c3 gives them a crutch, you know, it gives them an out, it gives them an excuse and all that. But that's why I wasn't, you know, so much going in that direction with that. But a lot of pastors, there's even pastors, I know of some pastors that they just will not touch on political issues. And I'm thinking to myself, in a year like this, how can you not touch upon some of these political issues? How can you not touch upon the abortion issue? How can you not touch upon racial inequity and the rioting that's happening in the streets? How can you not touch on these things? These are political issues, and
so
we need to get involved.
It's like being in a house that's on fire, and you could feel the flame singeing your skin and trying to pretend it's not there.
Exactly. And
yeah. I mean,
we
need pastors. We need men with courage. And I admire you for that. And Pastor Sanders. And there are other people that Coach Dwayne. Mm-hmm. For having the courage to step up, but we need more.
Well, and see, we
either step up or run up the white flag.
If pastors won't speak the truth, it's just like Friday on the radio, Pastor John Lutz and I, he had me come in toward the tail end of his program when I got into the studio, just kind of spur of the moment. So I kept him over on mine this past Friday afternoon. And I touched on Proverbs chapter 6. And let me just run to this. I got to watch the clock because I do have another caller waiting. But in Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16, it says, These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. And then he says this in verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And Pastor Lutz and I talked about this, said this describes Governor DeWine. Because Governor DeWine, he's given these numbers out. I heard from about three different sources this past week, one in the state government, one in the media, and one who is just a concerned citizen who's following things. Nobody knows where Governor DeWine is getting these numbers from that he gives out at his press conferences as justification for what he's doing. People have asked him, media people have asked him, state officials have tried to get the information. He will not give the information. His numbers don't match up with anybody else's numbers. Where are the numbers coming from? The CDC says that the coronavirus deaths are going down for 13 straight weeks. It's no longer an epidemic. Yet DeWine is there all the time. You're going to die. If you don't wear a mask, you're going to kill grandma. And people are in this panic. You know, in Florida and Arizona and Texas are supposed to be such hotbeds. Do you know if you totaled up all of the coronavirus deaths that are happening currently in Florida, Texas, and Arizona, it doesn't even come close to the number of deaths that are happening in New Jersey right now or in New York. And so he's sowing lies, speaking lies, and he's turning church members against church members, pastors against pastors over this mask nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when people were dying in greater numbers back in March and April, we didn't need masks. Now that people are hardly dying at all, we got to have a mask or you're going to kill grandma. And he's sowing discord among brethren. He's put himself solidly in the category of the things that God hates and are an abomination to him. And see, more pastors need to proclaim this. Exactly. If we did, maybe something would happen.
I'll get off real quick here, but I just want to say one more thing. Last week, we showed a recording at the church. It was from a website called truthinmedia.com.
I'll have to look that up.
They had a man on there, and he showed how they had done tests on these, like, I think it's called the N5 mask, which is the best one. And they had proven, they had it back in 2015, they'd proven that even those couldn't stop.
No, and I wish I had more time to get into the mask issue, but some leading epidemiologists have said the masks are actually worse than not wearing them because people violate the social distances because they think it's a magic shield, which it isn't. Yeah. Hey, John, I'm going to have to let you go because I want to squeeze Terry in here. We just got about 3 minutes.
One last thing.
Oh, I'm going to have to get to Terry because I only got about 3 minutes, so I'll have to catch you next time, okay, John? So, Terry, sorry to keep you hanging there. We've just been kind of had a couple of people who haven't called in for a long time, wanted to get them in. But
interesting, actually, listening to there's a lot of information. I encourage people to read your past or listen to your past programs.
Oh, I appreciate that, Terry. And let's jump to the point, though, real quick, because you got just a couple minutes to go.
I was just going to say that I've been doing a lot of research on Catholic doctrine and Muslim doctrine, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a couple of books that were really interesting about Muslims. And one was Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus by Nabil Qureshi.
Yeah, I believe I've seen that one before myself.
And the other one is No God But One. Former Muslim investigates evidence for Islam and Christianity. Allah or Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's the same guy, Nabil Qureshi.
Let me give you another one by Raymond Ibram, The Al-Qaeda Reader. That's a good one as well. There's just so many. In fact, on my website, livewithpastoral.com, I have a list of books that I recommend. They're alphabetical, not by subject. And I've got a couple in there. There's Beyond the Veil, Unmasking Islam by, I can't read it, Shafi, I think it is. And just several of them dealing with Islam. And those are some good ones that you were mentioning. But we got, did you say 2 minutes to go? We got about 2 minutes. But
I'm just going to mention real quick, I've been talking to a Catholic quite a bit. And I'll just say real quick that he says that works, faith without works is dead. And then I showed him a scripture, and he said that he'll believe it if I show him, and I showed him, and I don't think he believed it. It says right here, it says that, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of work, with any man shall boast. And he said he would believe it if I showed him in the Bible, and I don't think he believed it when I showed him.
They'll say that, but when you show them, they don't. And the other thing, too, the faith without works is dead. James talked about that, but what he was talking about is if you've got a faith that's a living faith, it's going to show evidence, won't it?
Right.
Yeah, and that's what he's talking about. He's talking about you show that you have a living faith by the works. You don't get the faith by doing the works. You have the faith and that causes it. Because even where you quote in Ephesians 2, next thing it says, we're created unto good works, doesn't it?
That's right.
And so the works come because of the faith, not in order to get the faith. And that was good.
If Abraham didn't go to with his son up to the... And sacrifice him. That was the
works. Well, it said he believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness.
Right.
So,
amen.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time, and thank you, Terry. Sorry that we weren't able to spend much time with you, but I want to thank you for calling again. Thank you, everybody, for listening tonight. Thank you to our callers, and God bless. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh, and have a great week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.